If you would please, to Jeremiah chapter 20. And we're going to get back into the book of Jeremiah where we were. And just to refresh my mind and yours, in chapter 20, you would recall, chapter 19 actually. And in chapter 19, Jeremiah was to go to the potter's house and get an earthen clay bottle. And he took that earthen clay bottle over to the place of Tophet, where they went and dumped all the rubbish like that. And when he went over there, chapter 19 and in verse 11, "And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury." So, in other words, there's going to be so many. Now, once you break the bottle cannot be replaced. It's in the place where all the broken pieces are that are never put back together. Then he goes from there back up northward, just a couple of thousand feet or so, 3,000, half a mile. And he goes back up to the temple. And he goes back up to the temple and delivers the warning of the broken flask, the broken bottle, that God is going to judge. And that judgment is sure and unchangeable. Now, so, having done that, verse 14 and 15. So when you come to chapter 20, verse 1, we have Paschor. Paschor is the high priest, the priest who was in charge. They had different times and assignments. His assignment was to be in charge of the custodial and everything in the temple area, court, was to be orderly. Any disorder, any problem, that was his job to take care of that. And so Jeremiah, out in the court, saying these things, and Paschor was not happy with it. And therefore, Paschor went and took him. And over, if you can, in chapter 20, and in verse 2, "Then Paschor smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were on the high gate of Benjamin, which were by the house of the Lord." So he put him in stocks. Remember, double stocks. You want to put your hands in stock and your feet, and you're there, neck, all of it, like that, in stocks, overnight. And then he let him loose after beating him. So he was beaten, put in stocks overnight, and then let loose with a rebuke. Now, so that's Paschor, and Jeremiah has just got clipped, to say the least. Now, in the process of that, you slide down in chapter 20 to verse 6. "And Paschor and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. Thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die. Thou shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends with thee, to whom thou hast prophesied lies." Now, what does that help us with? He's a priest. He's not a prophet. And he's been prophesying and telling the people, his friends in particular, "Don't you worry. Everything's going to come out okay. And don't you listen to Jeremiah. There is no Nebuchadnezzar. There is no problem. There isn't any." And he did that. That's what he did. He had no right to do that, A. He overrode and contradicted Jeremiah, among others, and that he should have never done. But he did it. Now, and his friend, they're all in cahoots together. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, therefore, Therefore, in the process, chapter 20, verse 3. It came to pass on the morrow that Paschor brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, Lord, the Lord hath not called thy name Paschor, but Megor Misabib. And Megor means terror. And you'll see it in the next verse. Verse 4, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror. That's the word. And Misabib means in every way, in every place, everywhere you go, you're a terror. And you're a terror. That means you are going and stirring up everybody to be, everything's going to be okay. And Nebuchadnezzar comes in, and it's going to be a terror. And they're going to look at you and blame you. Blame you for not telling them the truth. And you are going to be a terror to them. And they are a terror to you. And Babylon is a terror to everybody. Wow. So it's not going to come out good. Now, having said that, and here's Jeremiah and in the process going down the corridor of time and working. Now, one other place that will help us before we go any further, perhaps, is over to Lamentations. Hold your finger here. And at the end of Jeremiah is Lamentations. And if I may, in the book of Lamentations, picking up, please, in chapter 2, and may I go to pick up the flavor of it? So you remember now, Lamentations, you want to think when you read that, you want to think of Jerusalem as a person. And Jerusalem, like a person, is looking and feeling the horror, the terror, the ruin, the ruination, the heartache and the heartbreak. Its city is in ruins. Nebuchadnezzar leveled the temple and the city, the buildings, the castle, the great, everything was ruined. Wow. That's Lamentations. Now, so when you read Lamentations then, it's pouring out its heart, as it were, against what happened. Now, chapter 2, Lamentations, verse 14. In the light of Paschor the prophet, the priest, thy prophets have been vain and foolish things for thee, have seen vain and foolish things for thee. And they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity. They didn't tell you the truth, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. They have not told you the truth. They've told you a lie about the future. And I have tried to help you understand the future, but you didn't want to hear it. So therefore, slide over to verse 22. Thou hast called, as in a solemn day, my terrors, there's your word, the terrors, round about, so that in the day of the Lord's anger, none escaped nor remained. Those that I have swaddled, that means the little children that you swaddle, care for, little ones, and those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemies consumed. So all the little children, Israelites, that were born in the Jerusalem, the cities as a mother, all those are going to get consumed. And in the process, Nebuchadnezzar is going to be a terror when he comes. So it's not a good thing. Now, having said that little bit, and therefore Jeremiah and the Israelites have been warned. God continues to show his mercy and grace by warning them. He doesn't have to. We're talking about right now, we're talking about 20 years, a little more than 20 years, Jeremiah has been saying this. So you can't say that God didn't give you space. Think of the days of Noah. How much space did God give those people? 120 years. 120 years. You have 120 years to wake up. And I'm going to have you look at that ark, starting from on ground zero till it's built. And it's going to take 120 years. Look at it. Noah is a preacher of righteousness. Is anyone listening? Nope. No. So, having said that little bit, God, you're being merciful and warning the people. And you're caring and keeping Jeremiah in a most wonderful way. What do you mean you're caring and keeping for Jeremiah? Well, he's been beaten. He's been imprisoned. He's all worn out. He's been doing this year after year, and the people are getting harder and harder. They're being more negative than ever, and they aren't interested at all. And so Jeremiah, having just been through that, you have to understand, you've just been beaten up or stalks overnight, and you've been listening to the stuff. You're trying to tell them good things, and they won't receive them. And they're firing back. It's all negative. You say the thing, and they all fire back negative. Month after month, year after year. How long are you going to take that? And that's what he's doing. You need that sense, if you would. Now, so God, you're taking care of them. That's right. And so Jeremiah, you're all worn out, and therefore, chapter 20, Jeremiah. And in chapter 20, picking up, please, in verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. And remember, we share that together. The word deceived is to be persuaded. That's the quickest way to get the word, be persuaded. To make wide, to make accessible. The heart, the mind, to make something accessible. To be able to get to it. To be able to get to the person. To be persuaded. Thou hast persuaded me. You did it, God. You did it, big time. And then, in verse 7, I was deceived. I was deceived. I was persuaded. You persuaded me, and I was persuaded. And why not? Why not? Why not? Well, wouldn't you, if God spoke like he did to Jeremiah, and here's Jeremiah listening, and God gives him a wonderful privilege of talking to him and giving him an assignment. And if you were Jeremiah, and you think of what? Well, you think of the people before you, Amos and Isaiah and Jonah and Hosea, and you line them up to be put in the privilege, to be put in the class of such people. Wow, what a privilege, right? Wouldn't you be persuaded to be given such a high honor? Wow, as Jeremiah was. And he was persuaded. And he did it without even any question. And he was going to go and line up, and he did, line up with God against Israel, against Jerusalem, Judah, I should say, and against the whole system. So Jeremiah lines up on God's side of the fence and against the whole system, against the whole world system, if you would, for us. And it's going to be an exercise to be experienced. Now, God, there's all kinds of things you can learn by reading things. But you know there's another kind of learning, and that's when you go through the experience of things. You see, you can say, this is no problem. I read a book about something, self-health problem. But when you have the health problem, that's different than reading a book about it, isn't it? It's one thing to read about the flu. It's another thing to have the flu. That's a whole other experience. To have an experience that educates. That's what Jeremiah. God, are you interested in educating us? Absolutely. Absolutely. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, so here Jeremiah lines up with God and all of that. And in the process of doing so, and he does so. Now, in the light of that, we share together just to remind ourselves that, A, I want to learn, because that's the whole point of the whole book, all the Bible. It's all to help us get educated. How can we? I don't have to go through the experience Job did. I can read about Job, and then I learn from Job, and I go through my experiences that are personal and ours, each one of us, and we learn. We learn the truths. The truths are the same. God is the same. He cares the same. He's going to do the wonderful things he does because he's God. And each thing is personal, very specific. Think of Psalm 25. God will teach in the way that he will choose. And God chooses the way because we're all different. And what would reach you wouldn't reach you. So now, here we are looking, and here's Jeremiah. And therefore, I want to learn, and therefore, I want to be able to say with God, I want your will. We've been looking at that with prayer meeting and what we're doing here. We're looking for God to please God, to look for God to give us to honor him as a body collectively, and then to outwork that here and out there, wherever we are, work, home, school, play, to outwork it. And that's what God's doing. And that's what we want. We aren't interested in having some special thing. God, we just want you to be honored, and you for out to work your what? What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be exercising life. L-I-F-E. Capital L. Isn't it? What are you doing? You're exercising a relationship to God called eternal life. That's what you're doing. But what do I do? It isn't about your work. It isn't about your school. It isn't about your marriage. It isn't about your health. It's about life, a relationship, and you're living it. That's what you're doing, looking for that. And that's what God wants. That's what he says. So now, having said that a little bit, take a look with me just to remind ourselves for the on the positive side. Over to Psalm. David will help us. Psalm 31, I think. Psalm 31. And now, remember, Jeremiah is in a tough place. So here is David, Psalm 31. May I pick up in verse 13? For I have heard the slander of many, fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. They want to kill me. So therefore, David, you are on the same page with Jeremiah. Aha, uh-huh, I am. Now, what did you do, David? You said that to God, that's right. And verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. So having said that, all the threats and anything, what difference does it make? Am I going to be trusting God or not? Jeremiah, beaten, stalks, mocked. What difference does it make, Jeremiah? If you're on my side, you're fulfilling my will in a hostile environment, and you go round after round, like in the ring. You know, we shared it last time or so. And in the ring, you're in the ring, and the bell rings, and you get a break. It's for a few seconds. You get back up, and the bell rings again. And you go another round. When is the 15th round ever coming? No, it's the 500th round. There's no. When's the fight over? It isn't over yet. It isn't over. And so the bad guy's swinging and you get hit, but you're still in the fight. You're still in the arena. God, you aren't finished. No, I'm not finished. I'm not finished. Now, for many reasons. Now, so therefore, verse 15, 31 and 15. My times are in thy hand, as we shared. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies, from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, my times are in your hands. So whatever they are, whether it be Pascua doing whatever to Jeremiah, or whatever, Job, or anyone else, David, us, God, my time is in your hands. So you have to manage it. And that's what we do. We go down and we down and up. We understand. We don't understand. And that's what we're doing. And so as we're going down the corridor of time, chapter 32. Psalm 32, I should say. And in Psalm 32, picking up again David, in the light of the same mood and everything, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I'm going to surround you, God. What did you know, David? My times are in your hands. And you surround me like a great wall, a great army. And with what? Songs of wonderful God? Are you going to be a wonderful Savior in this? I am. I go to the next minute. Are you going to be a wonderful Savior in this? I am. I'm going to surround you with songs of deliverance. That's what you're going to do. We're going to go and you're going to find I'm able to save you to the uttermost. Even when it looks like it's odds totally against you, you're going to win, even though it looks like you lose. You're going to keep winning. And that's what you're going to get educated about. You don't lose. You want my will for my honor and my glory, said God. And when you're letting and looking to me, I don't intend to lose. God will never lose. Never. So therefore, God, when you let things happen in the ring, well, we get bloody nose, broken nose, but you hang in there and you discover. You discover that you can go into the next round and survive. And you can go into the next round. Why? Because you're in the world system. You aren't in heaven. You're on earth. And your whole environment is hostile. So every day you get out of bed, you got to go into a hostile environment with your own old nature inside of you, and you want to get free from the fight. You are the fight. You're in the fight, and that's what you're going to have to do. So you don't get relief. You don't get relief. It's there. Same work, same school, same job, same everything. You're just going to have to go through it again. And each time you're learning to trust me. My times are in thy hands. And, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, you can't ask for more than that. David, Jeremiah, God, that's what you promised Jeremiah. You promised Jeremiah that no matter what, he was going to end up a winner. And he did. He did. Wow. Now, God, therefore, I'm going to guide you. He said, I don't know what I can tell you. I said, it's going to work. And verse 9, only don't be as a horse, as you know, or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. You don't want to have great controls. If I got to twist your arm to get you to say and do what I want. I want you to do it without me having to twist your arm. Is that easy? I don't want to have to do that. I want you to cooperate. Don't fight me. Cooperate. Wow. So now, having said that a little bit, so we don't want to be as a horse or a mule. So Jeremiah, you're helping me. God, you helped him. And you're helping me. Over while you're here still, Jeremiah 31 again. In the light of that, Jeremiah 31. David, help us in this whole thing. They're trying to kill you. Verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. For thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. From the pride of men thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. David, is everything the same still? Psalm 31. Yes. What's different? Well, I look to God. And when I look to God, my times were in his hands. And God reminded me that I was in the middle of his presence. He surrounded me with songs of deliverance, Psalm 32. I'm surrounded with it. I'm hidden. Everyone can see me. They can't see the God who is around me. They can't see him. But there he is. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, so therefore, I might as well finish it. Verse 23. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And so, David, I got your little help. I got Jeremiah's help, and therefore, I got it. So I don't want to get down, shot down and easily here. So therefore, now, back over to Jeremiah, chapter 20. But in Jeremiah chapter 20, I want to be persuaded, and I don't want to say, like the end of verse 7, 27, thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. They're laughing at me. They're making fun of me. Wow, derision, laughter is the word. To mock, to be thoughtless in what you say. Wow, that's what they're doing. Now, Jeremiah, you're looking. You're going to look to God. I am. But I have to work through it, because it isn't really clear. If it was really clear, I'd have no problem. But I have to learn it. I have to learn how to speak rightly to God, how to think about God correctly. What God does and how he does it. I want to understand that. So then I'm going to be wonderfully, wonderfully persuaded. And God, I want to be persuaded. I want to be easily persuaded. That's what I want to do. Now, having said that, and I want to thank God for his word. I want to thank God that I can even know him. Thank God if he were to come tonight, if he were to come before the service ends, which would be great, you'd be gone. You would actually be gone. Would you care if the rest of us were still here? Family, loved ones, children, would it make any difference? No. No, you're just going to be so glad you're gone. And it doesn't make any difference about anyone else that you were able to be with him. That's overwhelming. Wow. Now, so here he is looking and caring at Jeremiah, and in the process, thanking God, we want to thank God, and you'll notice in chapter 20 and in verse 7, that God, thou art stronger than I, you're stronger than I am, and you prevail over me. Now, so God is stronger. Remember we shared the word to bind firmly together, to take the threads and wrap them around, to twine, to make the rope thick, strong, firm, strong, chain, strong. Wow. God, you're stronger. That's good. Now, Jeremiah, are you going to take advantage of that? David, did you take advantage of that? I did. Over, please, to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Coming back, but 2 Chronicles, and in chapter 16 for a moment. In the days of David and thereafter, we're going to look at David in a minute, but first, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and keeping in mind, God, here we are in your presence right now. Therefore, I want to read, if I may, I'll read verse 8 for a little bit of the context. 16 and 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Now, you trusted God, and didn't he deliver them? Didn't matter the odds, the obstacles, the opponents? Not a bit, not a bit, not a bit. Now, God, the message. Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, no matter where. To what? Show himself strong. There's the same word. Strong, strong. God, Jeremiah said, you're stronger than I. And that's right. Absolutely. The eyes of the Lord, verse 9, run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect, singular, looking to God, toward him, towards God, wherein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And so he had opportunity to fix things. The king did not. Asa did not do that. He could have, and God encouraged him. Am I not looking to be strong on behalf of anyone that would look to me? Jeremiah, the people of Israel, Jerusalem aren't looking, but you're looking. And you're going through. I want you to look, though, with your heart. That's why the beating and the stalks and the mockery, I'm trying to get you to pay attention. Not to the environment and make the environment nice. I want you to look to me, said God, and let me tranquilize, transform your heart so that you can be mine. I want you to trust me with all your heart. Wow. Now, so having said that little bit, and to David, we said, over to Samuel, you know this one, 1 Samuel, great one, actually, to remember for an encouragement, if you want encouragement, chapter 30. And by the way, it's reflexive. God himself, is looking to show himself strong. David, you, yourself, chapter 30, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And in verse 6. Now David, remember, has had all kinds of problems. He got his problem with his men, the families, the enemy has come and taken all their wives and their children and their goods, and they've come back from an embarrassing situation, and they've come back, and now everything is gone. And they're going to kill David. They're so angry with David. They want to kill him. What are you going to do now? And David's guilt. David knew he was wrong in the first place to even do all that he did. So therefore, you're ready to take punishment. But David, how did you handle it? Verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the word encouragement is the word strong, to twist around. It's reflexive. David, you took all the things that you saw against you. Jeremiah, what are you going to do? All the stuff that's coming at me, I'm in the middle of it. I'm going to use it. God, that's what David did. David looked to God. He took all of that, and it drove him into the heart of God for his mercy and grace. And God honored it in a most wonderful way, didn't he? That's all. He went and turned to God. And that's what we have to do. So how are we going to solve everything? Well, instead of letting it be another problem to solve, why not let the problem push you, get you, bring them all together, and let you get to God? What did you say in 2 Chronicles 16, 9? I will show myself, I'm looking for the perfect heart, the single heart. I want someone to have a look to me with all their heart. I'm going to be strong on their behalf. That's what I'm looking for. I want you to be look to me, I'll be strong. God, can you do it? Absolutely. And when, God, you are strong and surround us with songs of deliverance, and you hide us in the secret of your presence, and we get your face to smile upon us, to shine upon us. Wow. That's something wonderful. Now, having said that little bit, back over, if you would please, to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah and chapter 20, as we just did with Strong, would you please note with me in chapter 20, verse 7, thou art stronger than I, and thou hast prevailed, thou hast prevailed. And now remember, we shared together the word prevail. Prevail. To mean to take over, to be overpowering, overpowering. Now, what did you know? Well, you know, if you hold your finger here, right here, over to chapter 1 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. God hath prevailed. Now, Jeremiah, what do you know about God had told you at the very beginning? Chapter 1, Jeremiah, verse 19. Remember, God's going to protect him. God's going to make him a fort, a fortress, a city. You aren't going to get to him. God's going to surround him with the songs of deliverance. Verse 19. Thou shalt fight, they shall fight against you. Prophet, priest, king, people, all of them. They shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail. There's your word, prevail. To prevail, to overcome, to overpower. They shall not prevail against thee. Why not? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So back over to chapter 20. God, you have prevailed. That's right. And God's going to prevail over all of his enemies completely. No matter what it looks like Pascua was able to do, no matter look what someone was able to do to God's people. Look what happened to my little life. All of that can be. All of that may be, but that isn't the issue. God, did they win? They didn't win if you're looking to me. You always win if you're trusting me at all times. You're hidden in the secret of my presence. I surround you with songs of deliverance. Now, are you winning or losing? I'm losing. Maybe you need to take another look at things and look to me, and you'll find you're winning. You aren't losing. You're winning. When it seems like you're losing in the fight, you're actually winning. But we're losing. Oh, no, you aren't. No, you aren't. It looks like you are, but you aren't. Well, now, so, in the light of that, so here, God, we're looking to you and your wonderful protection, and God, you're doing that, and so we're learning the will of God, the way of God, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, remember now, you have to yield. Jeremiah had to yield to God's wonderful person. He was persuaded. He was persuaded, and he was easily persuaded. Why wouldn't I want to serve God? Why wouldn't I want to do God's word and God's will? And God's going to do what he does in chapter 1. Jeremiah will say, without turning there for time's sake, I am but a child. I cannot speak. And then God said, listen, I'm not depending on you to speak. I'm depending on me to speak. I will put the words in your mouth. And that's what you're going to have with Jeremiah in chapter 20, verse 8 and 9. God, they're my words, and when I want to say them from my prophet, he can't stop me. Do you understand? When I want to say something, my servant cannot stop me when I want to say it. Hang on to that, because that's awesome, I think. I wonder sometime what I say. I have to stop right in the middle of something in my little mind, and I go over here and over there. I said, no, why? I don't ask myself why, it just happens. And lo and behold, someone was sitting there, needed to hear that. And remember, we shared the simplest, easiest, quickest illustration. The fellow that was sitting out here, he was about to commit suicide, and in the middle of whatever message it was on Sunday morning, I threw in suicide. Now, what did suicide have to do with that message? Nothing. Nothing. And going out the door, he said, you said it to me. I'm not going to do that. Not that words, but that was the idea. I was going to commit suicide till you said that. Now, I never planned that, and I don't plan that, but it just happens. So, and besides the humanness, that's why we can't be a pope, because, you understand, we can't be a pope, because I give you the wrong references, I say the wrong word, and you have to be detectives and figure out, what did I say, and where was I? So see, I'm not looking to get elevated to the big cathedral yet, because I'm not going to make it. But now, so without saying that, over if you would please, in the light of that, prevail. Let's do something in closing, because we've got to quit. Over if you would please, in the light of that. Now remember now, he's going to be persuaded. God is stronger. God prevails. God is going to prevail. He's going to win, no matter how you cut the cookie. And he's going to be. He's going to be everything he's supposed to be. That's what you are, God. Wow. Now, over to 2 Timothy. Now, so God, we need to be. Jeremiah was persuaded to honor God, look to God, and easily so, and it should be. Now, God, here we are. And Paul, are you going to be persuaded? I am. Now, remember, Paul has to go through everything, and he does. And so do you. Back to the thought. You're going to be educated. Experience is going to produce a wonderful education. If you would learn from it, you'll be wonderfully, wonderfully educated. You'll be more educated than you will ever in a classroom. Do you understand that? You know all those illustrations. I have a book. I have a few books on psychology, and they go way back, you know, all the studies. And back in those old books, when you used to go to college, when you used to go to school, and they had the psychology books, and they told you good common sense, and they told you good common things to understand about psychology and all of that. And they did that. And in the process, tell you all the good things about what to do and how to do things. Now, in the process of all of that, I forgot where I was going to go, but that's all right. I just told you, I just already apologized. I mean, I already did it, so I don't need to say any more. How about that? See, everything has to be illustrated. I don't know why it has to be. Anyway, it was a good thought. It would have gone somewhere. Now, so, God, here we are, looking. And in doing that, you have to go through things. And in the process, psychology and that. And what they did is, the time went on, and you go and put, the big thing is go get your doctorate or some other thing, and then you go from college straight into Washington or the job, and you become the boss. You don't know beans about the subject, but you become the boss. And you're telling people that do it as a way of life, you're telling them how to run things. And you sit on the phone and write a little note, and they do it. They have no idea. But that book never said that. It said, don't do that. You start with what? Learn to sweep the floor, clean the bathroom, and do every job you can. So when you're now ready to take office, you know how to run this company. And you know what it takes to run the company, and you appreciate people. I know that I've done all this stuff. On the line, people that are out there, you need to understand them and encourage them and help them. They're there to do a job. You try to make their job as profitable and as helpful as possible. Now, so there. Now, God, that's what you want. So Paul, you're going to say quickly what? You're going to be educated quickly. In me dwelleth what? No good thing. Do you know how long it took Paul to get there? He was the least of the apostles. A little later, I'm the least of the saints. And finally, at the crescendo, I'm the chief of sinners. That's progress. Where did you learn that? Getting beaten in the stocks and learning. I got educated on what it was all about and how to be a winner. I wish I could. I got a boy. I'm sorry. I'm getting going. Over to verse 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 12. For which cause, said Paul. Paul, you're the one. You went through all this. Absolutely. Chief of sinners. And when? For which cause I also suffer these things. I suffer them. That's why I'm in prison. Nero's going to cut me. Cut me loose from my body. Nero is. So there we go. All right. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Believed, perfect. I have believed with the result I am believing. And am persuaded. Persuaded, there's the same. Persuaded. That's right. Jeremiah said, I was easily persuaded. Paul, you're saying the same thing. I was persuaded. God, you persuaded me. Wow. Verse 12. That he is able to keep that which I've committed, deposited, like in the bank, unto him against that day. God, where did you learn that? Where did you learn that, Paul? You learned that from God. That's where you learned that. Was it easy? Was the school easy? Oh, no. Woo, it was hard. I got stoned, shipwrecked, beaten. I had everything. But that's how I learned. That's how I learned. That's how we learn. That's why we go through what we did. That's how we got this. We get where we're going. Because we've been through all this. Well, one problem after another. And we survive. And it gets strong.